As long as we continue to live as if we are what we do, what we have, and what other people think about us, we will remain filled with judgments, opinions, evaluations, and condemnations. We will remain addicted to putting people and things in their right place.
It's not addition that makes one holy, but subtraction. Stripping the illusions, letting go of pretense, exposing the false self, breaking open the heart and the understanding, not taking my private self too seriously.
And in Luke it says this. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, thank you that I am not like the other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. But all who humble themselves will be exalted.
This morning is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and it involves the whole congregation. It is simple. Our two characters will first read the lines, and then you will repeat the lines after them. Those of you on this side will read the part of the proud Pharisee, and those of you on this side will read the part of the humble tax collector. What is important is that you read your part as the character does. You Pharisees read loudly and with volume, and you tax collectors read more quietly and with humility. Each of your characters will set the tone. There were once two people who went to church to pray. The first one went inside, and he confidently said,
it's me again.
Hello, Lord. It's me again.
I'll bet you remember me, Lord.
I'll bet you remember me, Lord.
I'll bet you remember me, Lord.
Look at him. Over there.
Look at him over there.
Look at him over there.
Lord, I am not like him.
Lord, I am not like him.
Lord, you know I'm not like him.
I do so many things.
I've done so many things. Lord.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for your love and forgiveness.
Lord, thank you for your love and forgiveness.
Then they got up and left, The first person went away proud and happy, but the second person went away humble and forgiven.
God, I thank you that I am not like other people. You know, lesser, immoral people. I'm so thankful I'm not like them. Yikes. It seems like a pretty straightforward parable, right? Unlike some parables that leave our brains spinning, this one appears to lay the lesson out directly. We've got the Pharisee who approaches God by comparing himself to other folks around him, pointing out his own superior goodness. He shares with God his report card of faith. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of my income. He stands there in the middle of the temple where no doubt other folks can see him and take note of his righteousness as he relays to God just how wonderful a person of faith he is. Meanwhile, off at a distance, not drawing attention to himself, stands another man, the tax collector. He's so ashamed of himself that he can't even lift his head up and look to the heavens. He's beating his breast with his hands, naming his sinfulness and begging God to be merciful toward him. This man, Jesus says, will go home justified because he has humbled himself before God, unlike the Pharisee who has rested upon his own achievements, exalting himself above all those around him. Be like the tax collector, Jesus says. Don't be like the Pharisee. Pretty straightforward, right? We're done. We can go home. Sure it is. It's pretty straightforward. Until you say something like, "Thank God I am not like that Pharisee." I'm so glad I'm more self-aware. More emotionally intelligent. I've read a lot of Richard Rohr. I know myself well. I even know my Enneagram number. Thank you, God, that I am not like fill in the blank, the Pharisee of my day. I'll let you think about how you would fill in that blank. It's a little bit to swallow. As I see it, the initial struggle with the parable is that we are conditioned in how we see the Pharisee and the tax collector. They have become caricatures for us. They have become these strong, dominant stereotypes that shape the way they read their story, as well as other stories. I don't know that we even see them as real people. We've been conditioned to dislike the Pharisee. I mean, how many times have we been annoyed by the Pharisees? You know, following Jesus around, trying to set a trap for him, convict him of stepping outside the law. They are repeatedly painted in a negative light as a crew of religious leaders who have missed the point, who have fixated so much on legality as opposed to on love and grace. From the outset of Jesus' story, we're taught to be weary of them and to even shake our heads at their constant failure to recognize God in the flesh before them, to even go as far as to orchestrate his execution. We've got an image in our heads of who the Pharisee is, and it's not a positive image. We even take this image, this stereotype, and apply it to people today that we feel fit the bill. And then there is the tax collector, another caricature. We have a sort of fondness for the tax collector. We recognize, of course, that folks of Jesus' time didn't share this fondness, but in our own post-resurrection world, we've have this classic image in our heads of Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, right? It's a phrase we know well. Jesus' association with them is one of the things that gives us hope, that makes us love Jesus even more, that makes us feel like Jesus would sit down at a table with us. Because if Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners, then we know grace is abundant enough for everyone. So we kind of like the tax collector in some fashion. This just makes Jesus' parable all the more comfortable. We're not so keen on the Pharisee, and the tax collector at least is eating at the table that we want to eat at. So yeah, we nod and smile at Jesus' explanation that the tax collector is the one who will be justified rather than the Pharisee. But these two men are more than their caricatures. They are more than their stereotypes. And when we embrace these typecast versions of themselves, we stay on a surface level. And we all too easily begin expressing gratitude to God that we're not like the Pharisee. When we see the men only as we've been conditioned to see them, we also fail to see ourselves a bit more deeply. The Pharisee was a deeply religious man. He was following in the way he understood his faith and the ways he had been taught. He had been taught to follow the law as an act of obedience to God, as his part in upholding God's covenant with Israel. He had been taught to fast and to tithe. All those who knew him probably saw him as a good man, a faithful man, a righteous man. He spent his life adhering to God's teachings as found in the law, seeking to be holy and pious by living in such a way. It was how he understood God's relationship to the people. Again, we like the tax collector because of his classic lumping with the sinners and our own conditioning and personal feelings of identifying most with the tax collectors and sinners. But he deserves a closer look. In his own context, he definitely wasn't regarded with affection by his neighbors. The tax collector was an instrument of the Roman Empire. He was an instrument of economic injustice. He didn't just collect the taxes due like a modern-day IRS agent. He could collect whatever he wanted, and he often did, pocketing the extra. He was reviled by the Jewish community because of his acts of greed and oppression, benefiting himself as he took advantage of the people. Now, usually when I read this parable, I feel a strong pull toward the tax collector and harsh judgment for the Pharisee, as I've been conditioned to feel. But when I open my mind to imagine these men as more than the stereotypes in the parable, I begin to see them a bit differently. And I find some sympathy and some compassion and a sense of resonance within me lining up a bit differently. I find myself feeling sort of bad for the Pharisee, who, because he is following God's law, seems like he's a rather good person, albeit he's missed an important lesson about faith. And I wonder if someone will help show him the way, or if he'll pause long enough to let God approach his heart. As for the tax collector, I begin to wonder if he changed his ways after that prayer. I wonder if he began doing right by people and turned away from acts of injustice and oppression. I wonder if this moment with God changes him, or if he goes back to living just as he had before, only one day to pray the same prayer. I listen for myself in the story. I listen for myself in the Pharisee and in the tax collector. We try to identify with one of the men so as to know where we fall. But in our efforts, we're sort of just joining the game of comparison that we see in the Pharisees' prayers. And fingers crossed, we line up with the tax collector. But oh wait, once we make that decision that we're better like the tax collector, Haven't we just become like the Pharisee in a way? Truth be told, I find myself in both. And both of them within me. And I think that's where the deeper truth lies. At their core, these men aren't that different. Jesus begins his parable by saying, two men went up to the temple to pray. As the parable opens, the men are equalized. They are just two men approaching God in prayer. Their achievements, their failures, their holiness, their sinfulness, none of it sets them apart from the other. They are still just two human beings coming to God in prayer. In some ways, we might not get as tangled in the parable if the two men were just left to be identified as two men and never named as a Pharisee and a tax collector. But it is said at the outset of the passage that Jesus was telling the story to a group of folks who were relying upon their own righteousness, and it had taken them to a place of having contempt in their hearts for others. The stereotypical Pharisee seems like a natural candidate for that mirror, and the parable only further reinforces that stereotype. But self-righteousness is something that we all struggle with. It's not particular to any one group of people. None of us are immune to it. So what if they were just two men or two women? Just two human beings approaching God. It's their approaches that should give us pause to consider our own prayers. It's their approaches that invite us to reflect upon the nature of our relationship with God. And perhaps if we strip them of their titles and their stereotypes, we'll stop playing the comparison game and take a closer look at our own hearts. The first approaches God feeling self-righteous. He doesn't perceive his dependence on God. He hasn't touched the need in his own spirit for God's grace, a free grace that cannot be earned or acquired even by right living. He stands confident in his own goodness because he has followed the letter of the law. Standing in the middle of the temple where all can see, he thanks God for his own laurels. The second man stands far off and opens his heart. Whether he has done good or bad, he knows he cannot depend on himself alone. He yearns for God's mercy in his life, but he knows he can't do anything to warrant the gifting of God's grace. It is a gift only, not a transaction. He bears his soul in a brutal and honest way, beating his breast, unable to lift his eyes, admitting with great vulnerability his need for God. It doesn't matter that one is a Pharisee and the other is a tax collector. Their titles, their backgrounds could even be reversed. They're just two men coming before God. One protecting himself with an armor of righteousness of his own making. The other surrendering in heartfelt confession. God is present to both men, listening to their prayers. But only the second man is changed, because only he approaches God with an open and honest heart. Only he is actually open to being changed. Think back to that Richard Rohr quote that we heard earlier in the service. It's not addition that makes one holy, but subtraction. Stripping the illusions, letting go of pretense, exposing false self, breaking open the heart and the understanding, not taking my private self too seriously. Jesus' parable invites us to bear our most authentic self before God. It invites us to strip away the layers that hold us up in front of others, that make us feel good about ourselves, that make us look good when all other eyes in the temple or the church are upon us, and to be humble before God. He invites us to be grateful, not for what we have accomplished or because we're better off than others, but to be grateful for God's love and grace that enfolds us. He invites us to call out and surrender, to release ourselves into God's embrace. He invites us to set our sights not upon ourselves and our own holiness, but upon the Holy One who is gracious to us. Jesus invites us to let ourselves be seen by God, our most authentic selves. And that in itself is humbling, to offer our truest, barest selves before God, to open our innermost being to be seen by the Holy One. It is humbling, and it is an act of surrender in itself. And in letting God see us, we will also begin to truly see ourselves and to see those around us with a more humble and grateful and compassionate heart. Two men go up to the temple to pray. They both reside within us. Will we let God see them both? Will we open our hearts humbly to be seen by God and to experience her transformative grace? Will you let yourself be seen? Will you set your eyes upon God and let yourself be seen? Amen.